Yeah, I go hard for the crowd. It's second nature, tell me what you know.
Alright, 3, 2, 1, and we're live. Everyone, welcome back to Let's Take This Online with me, Hassam El Haj. You know, Let's Take This Online is a podcast about growth. It's a podcast about learning. It's a podcast about tackling controversial topics in order to learn and to bring value to ourselves. And the whole point is I'm going on this journey of learning these things, and I really want to share with you. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make errors. But the whole point is to learn from it, and together we can grow. Hopefully, I can make a mistake that maybe helps you learn, and that's awesome in the essence of it. So do make sure to subscribe, hit that like, comment, share. That's really important to me. And that's it. Let's get to it. Today's podcast is a different one than I usually do it. Usually I talk about, you know, my feelings or my thoughts on something personal kind of, you know, growth journey of mine. This time I wanted to mix it up. I wanted to discuss, I want to discuss a topic that I've been thinking a lot about lately since March, since it happened this year. I've been kind of silent because I like to learn about, I want to make sure that I'm knowledgeable on the topic. I don't want to talk for the sake of talking. I do want to learn, and I do want to be able to bring value. So the topic I want to talk about is Dr. Seuss. As you all know, in March this year, there was a big uproar about Dr. Seuss, and the fact that 6 of the Dr. Seuss books are now banned, or they're not going to be printed anymore. There was a huge uproar from the left and the right, medias and influencers and activists. Everyone had their opinion, and I wanted to kind of learn, where do I stand in this? Because I love Dr. Seuss. I grew up listening to Dr. Seuss. Sorry, reading Dr. Seuss, not listening. Absolutely love it. All the books, I think I read them all as a kid. It was a very, very, impactful, set of stories that Dr. Seuss was able to put together. I talked about this a lot when I was a kid. I was bullied. I had a lot of confidence issues. For me, reading was kind of my out. Was a way for me to escape real life. Was a way for me to kind of delve into these alternate realities and to have this imagination. Dr. Seuss was really a conduit for that. So that's why I really wanted to learn about the topic and jump into it. So let's do some background. Is who is Dr. Seuss? If you see me looking down, by the way, I did take some notes, so I'm going to go through the notes I actually took. So who's Dr. Seuss? Dr. Seuss was born in 1904 as Theodore Seuss Geisel. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Seuss was actually his mother's maiden name. Creative kid. In 1925, he attended Dartmouth College, which is a really good college in the U.S., and was actually part of a magazine there called the Jack-O-Lantern. And he was, throughout his life, he always uses Seuss as a pen name, and then eventually it turned into Dr. Seuss. Like, it just kind of, turned into him using Dr. Seuss as a pen name. Then he actually became quite known for his cartoons for an insecticide brand called Flit. I'll actually show a picture of it here somewhere. officially, his first publication was 1927 for the Saturday Evening Post. In World War II, Dr. Seuss actually enrolled in the military. And as you know, World War II was affecting the world, different kind of cultures, and also created a lot of stereotypes. I want us to think about that because it kind of, goes into why he did what he did. So enrolled in the military, is actually went straight into the animation department of the military and actually created training films for the U.S. military. So I don't think he actually fought. I believe that he only actually kind of just created the training films. His first book was To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, which is actually one of the books that have gotten banned recently. Banned is a hard, it's a tricky word. It's a tricky word. And we'll talk about why it's tricky and why people are using and misusing it at the same time. So, actually, funny enough, is this book, the first book published, To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, was rejected 27 times before it actually was published in 1937. Canned Hat, funny enough, was a book where he was approached and someone actually told him, listen, make a children's book with only 220 vocabulary words. It took him a year and a half to finish. So a full year and a half to finish A Cat in the Hat. Green Eggs and Ham, funny enough, he only used 50 words. So just put that in perspective. That's crazy. Wrote over 60 books. A ton of them turned into movies. Dr. Seuss won a Pulitzer Prize, Academy Awards, 3 Emmys, and 3 Grammys. And then finally died in 1991 from throat cancer. So we just kind of laid the bit of history there of Dr. Seuss. So what happened, right? March 2021 came. What exactly happened? Well, funny enough, there wasn't a specific banning. There wasn't like, you know, a leftist group or whatever kind of go, oh, cancel Dr. Seuss. There were some preliminary hearings. There were some teachers and parents, you know, over the years who were saying that, you know, some of the books have racist imagery, some of the books have, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, it was there in the background, but there was no kind of, oh, ban it today. But what actually happened in March 2021, March 2nd, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, now this is the company that actually handles the Dr. Seuss name, because he died. So it kind of holds, you know, handles the trademarks, handles the book printing and all that. And they released a statement. I'll put it up here. Let me actually read it. Today on Dr. Seuss's birthday, Dr. Seuss Enterprises celebrates reading and also our mission of supporting all children and families with messages of hope, inspiration, inclusion, and friendship. We are committed to action. To that end, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, working with a panel of experts, including educators, reviewed our catalog of titles, made the decision last year to cease publication and licensing of the following titles. And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, the very first book he published in 1927, If I Ran the Zoo, McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzers. These books portray people in the way that are hurtful and wrong. Seizing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss's Enterprise catalog represents and supports all communities and families. So Dr. Seuss Enterprises on their own said, we're going to stop printing these books. So technically, that's why I said the use of banning and misuse of banning is critical here. People, for example, the right or the people defenders of this, we're like, oh, the left banned it. And the people on the left were like, no, we didn't ban it. So technically, it's kind of a self-ban. I think that Dr. Seuss Enterprises has been feeling the pressure over the years. There has been some kind of hearings and there has been some talk from some of, you know, parents and stuff like that who have been saying things about this, about the books. But I think in the end, it was kind of, let's do it now, then have a catastrophe later on. So I think it was kind of a premeditated banning, self-banning, if you want to put it that way, where they wanted to basically get ahead of it. And kind of if we, and because it'll be so much worse if there's a big uproar in the future and then like a mob kind of bans them, right? So I think they kind of decided to take that approach. So let's actually go through each of the offensive images. I'll show one after the other. In some cases, yes, definitely I could see the offensiveness or the stereotypical approach. For example, the way that Asians are depicted, you know, even like the Arabs one, like I'm an Arab. So I don't really get offended from the Arab ones. I actually find them kind of funny. But I can see how people can be offended by it. The Asian one, you know, slanted eyes. You can see, I'm going to just kind of show it on the screen. You know, even using the word Eskimo, it's Inuits. So all that is very stereotypical, especially heavily on the Asians. Very heavily on the Asian, especially the Japanese. Especially the Japanese. And you can actually see it, you know, each of these ones, you know, the Chinese boy eating chopsticks. I mean, you can see it. It's all right here, right? You can see it right here. So definitely a lot of, I believe, stereotypes, and stereotypes can be offensive, right? So why did Dr. Seuss do this? Why did Dr. Seuss draw all these nationalities in such a stereotypical way? I believe that Dr. Seuss, and this argument people hate, but I do believe there's some truth in it. I believe he was a product of his time. Remember, he grew up before both World Wars and then enlisted during World War II. During World War II, there was an anti-Asian sentiment. There was actually you know, camps where they would put the, you know, Japanese people in it. People were treated very badly. Even Japanese Americans were treated very badly. So there was a lot of hatred towards Japan, obviously because of Pearl Harbor and what happened during that time. He actually drew a lot of sketches, I'll show you one right now. You can see, for example, again, very, very stereotypical and very racist. But obviously, I think there was anger in his part.
I think most U.S. citizens were very angry and racist and hateful towards Japanese people for Pearl Harbor specifically. So obviously he was not a fan of the Japanese people. But there's actually a lesson here. This is something I actually found during my research. In 1953, so after World War II, Dr. Seuss visited Japan and then saw the aftermath of the Hiroshima bombing. And he was really touched and really affected by this. And actually start changing his viewpoints. And I think this is very critical. The fact is, this person had a thought process because, you know, the Empire of Japan, for example, bombed, you know, massively, bombed Pearl Harbor, killed a lot of people. There was a war against Japan and the Nazis. America was at the forefront when it comes to fighting Japan. There was a lot of anger and hatred towards Japanese people from all U.S. citizens. Even Japanese Americans felt the pain of this. That was what's going on. So here's a man who was basically, I think, in terms of the way he's feeling about the Japanese people, probably the same as everyone else during that time. I don't think like he was the outlier. I think he was feeling what everyone else was feeling. Then he went to Japan and then started to change his viewpoint. So again, travel is very important here. Travel to broaden your horizons. He traveled to the country that he hated, right? And everyone hated in America. And then start to see, oh, wow, this is what happened from the war. This is what's going on. And then changed his mental state. That's very key. People can change. And I think this is why it's very, very important. Then in 1954, he publishes Horton Hears a Who, which I think we all know. There's even a movie about it. I love the book. I love the movie. And if you realize, Horton Hears a Who is a very interesting story. It's about an elephant who protects a speck of dust because he can hear a microscopic world there, right? And no one else can hear it at the beginning. And he basically defends it and he has to go through a lot of problems. And actually, and this is kind of known, Horton Hears a Who was actually an apology piece from Dr. Seuss. It was an apology piece. This is him saying sorry for what I've done. So the person understood what he did wrong and is trying to make amends and is trying to, you know, properly apologize. So it's not like a person who's a bad person who decided, you know what, this is what I think about these people, it's never going to change. He changed the way he thought about it. And that's really key, and people don't realize that. Even there's a line in the book, which is, a person is a person no matter how small. Again, this is a person that was stereotypically racist towards Japanese people and other nationalities. And now suddenly over time, changes his ways, is making amends, and basically created a book where everything is about a person is a person no matter how small. He even dedicated the book, and this is a quote, to my great friend Mitsugi Nakamura of Kyoto, Japan. So imagine this. Hated Japanese people. Drew them in a very racist way. And now dedicates a book to a friend of his that he met in his travels. Very key. People can change. People can change the way they think. And people can change and can get rid of racist and stereotypical images they have in their head. I think that's very key. In a book called The Sneetches, it's actually right up here. He tells a story of a type of creature called a sneetch. Sneetches, some have a star symbol in their belly, some of them don't. The ones with the star symbol think they're superior to the ones that don't have it. And there's a lot of back and forth where someone comes in and basically can paint the star symbols and remove the star symbols. And the whole point is that everyone's the same. They realize we are all the same. Again, another book from Dr. Seuss showing that he is sorry and he believes everyone should be treated the same. Again, this person is trying to make amends. So we have a man who depicted people in a very harsh stereotype in a very racist way, realizes the error of his ways, and makes amends through his books. So what's the lesson here? I think the lesson is that people can change. You can think one way one day, and through an experience, you can change. I think this is important of travel, the importance of getting out of your bubble. Sometimes we get stuck in our bubble and we can't see another sign. We can't see another way. We can only see this specific way. So getting out of that is very important. All of us, I'm sure you thought about one thing a while ago, you know, a long time ago when you were younger, and now you don't think the same way. It's natural. It's a natural evolution of people. And we have to evolve. And I think travel is very key in getting out of your bubble. I mean, when I was younger, I used to live in Lebanon, for example. Lebanon's a bubble. You think one way, you act one way. Then when you leave, you start to change your thought process. And the more you travel, you meet different people from different walks of life, different nationalities. You hear different opinions. And I think that is very, very key to growth. and evolution as a person. Cool. So where do we go from here, guys? I read actually into subject a lot. I listened and read and watched extreme left, extreme right. Once I believed that Dr. Seuss was a complete racist and a lot of his books should be banned, including Cat in the Hat and other books. This, like the extreme left truly believe this person should be erased from history, which I think is very extreme. And the other side, obviously, this, you know, defends this guy saying, you know, we should uphold his books. It's really important and all that. So then I also listen, I like to listen to all sides. I listen to CNN, I listen to Associated Press, I even listen to Ben Shapiro, I listen to Jamie Oliver, Stephen Colbert, you know, all these different people from different sides of this, of the equation. Everyone's trying to give their opinion. And I believe the lesson is somewhere in the middle. This is my personal opinion, and this is what I personally believe, right? First, I believe we need to acknowledge the facts. I hate when people don't want to even acknowledge what the fact is out there. There are facts we need to acknowledge. Yes, the images are stereotypical, and they are offensive, okay? Again, I said I don't take offense to the Arab depictions. I kind of find them funny. That's personally me as an Arab. But I definitely can see how other Arabs can find offensive. And I completely can understand how people from African backgrounds and Asian backgrounds can, and the Inuits can find what he said, what he drew, very racist. So we have to acknowledge that fact that they are stereotypical and they have racist tones and can definitely be offensive. Definitely we have to acknowledge that. No one's hiding it. We cannot say that not happening, right? And the second we have to acknowledge is that we have to also acknowledge and agree that Dr. Seuss learned, was aware, became aware of his racism and tried to make amends. That's something we can't deny. Through his other books, Horton Hears a Who, and The Sneetches, and other books, he was trying to find a way to apologize. I think that's something we definitely 100% have to agree on. The person was thinking one way for a few years, or most of his life. After travel, exploration, he changed. And that's okay. People can change, right? For example, like, let's take an example. I meet today, to 2021, I still meet people from America, Europe, for example, who believe the Middle East is a desert and we all ride camels. And I grew up in, you know, I lived in Lebanon, which actually has no desert. There are no camels. It's a green, lush country. Jordan is a desert. Saudi Arabia is a desert. Oman actually has some of the most beautiful, lush greenery in the whole Middle East. Syria has actually a mix of both. Where there are no camels, for example. There are more camels in Australia than there is in the Middle East. Do you guys know that? I actually just recently learned that Saudi Arabia imports camels from Australia because they're consuming so much of the meat. And Australia actually has an overabundance of camels. So, till today, people still think that I grew up riding a camel, which for me is absurd, right? So, again, till today, there's still some stereotypes of the Middle East. So, that's in this year. Still. Now, let's imagine in the 1940s. Again, not make excuses, but we also have to understand that the times were different. And if people could be stereotypical today with all the information out there, how could people see, can people be stereotypical? You're living in the U.S. You've never been to Japan. All you know that Japan attacked you. You're only going to have a negative thought about Japan. It's natural. There's nowhere else to consume information. All the news, the radio, everything is saying Japan is bad. Your leaders are saying Japan is bad. How are you supposed to have another opinion? I can't go online. There's no online, right? So it took him traveling to another country to learn that. So I think we need to acknowledge that he did change, and that's very important. Next 2 points I believe might be hard to agree on, but this is just going to give my opinion. First of all, about banning and erasing books. Do I agree that the Dr. Seuss Enterprise should have canceled the books? I personally don't think so. Not saying it, I'm still saying there's some there's stereotypes and racist imagery in these books, but I believe there's a lesson to teach our kids. I believe in right parenting and the way we talk to our kids, we can show them that these images reflect people in a wrong way, and we should never think about people. Sorry, I'm just checking to make sure the battery hasn't died. We should never think of people in a way that they aren't. For example, if I have a daughter now. One day when she gets older, I can read a book to her. I'm going to show her the picture, for example, of Asians in Dr. Seuss' book. And I'm going to tell her, you have Asian friends. Do they look like this? And she's going to go, no. So I'm like, look at the Arab picture. Does daddy look like that? And she's going to go, no. So again, you can use these images to tell people, to teach kids that don't judge people by thought or meet these people. Meet them. Don't just hear what others say about them. There's a lesson here. And I think my daughter and the upbringing I will give to my daughter will be enough for her to understand that Arabs don't look like this, and Asians don't look like this, and people from Africa don't look like this, and Inuits don't look like this. And I think that's very important. And having those books becomes a lesson. And if they're not there, how are we going to, you know, that lesson could obviously still be taught, but I think it's really important because it's a way a child can understand. And this is a great way for letting our children understand that stereotypes are wrong. Instead of saying, hey, don't think this of someone else, this is a way of really kind of telling them. And I read a really beautiful article of a African-American woman explaining to her child the Dr. Seuss books, and actually read and talked to him about it. And in a way that she talked about to her son, it was really beautiful in the way of making him understand that this is wrong, right? So I don't think these books should be completely banned. I think they should be used in the right context to teach important lessons. The second point is about the man himself. I think it's important that we understand that we live in a culture right now that if you did something 20 years ago, even if it wasn't illegal, that people don't agree with today, you're canceled, right? We live in a cancel culture, which I think is quite scary. Because the idea is that you can't grow, you can't evolve. And I don't want to believe that. I like to believe that all of us can evolve and all of us can grow. And you can only do that by making mistakes. You can only do that from experiences. You can only do that by thinking one way and then changing it to another way. If we cancel everyone from day one because they're not perfect, how can we evolve as a culture? So I don't subscribe to this cancel culture, personally. So the fact is, Dr. Seuss knew he was wrong. He grew his thought process and made amends. And the fact that he knew what he did was wrong is what helped him become who he was later on. So it's really important for us to understand what we did wrong for us to grow and learn. We need to empathize. We need to be more understanding, and we don't need to create a culture of fear. So let's wrap it up. I think I'll continue enjoying and reading Dr. Seuss books for myself, for my future kids, for my current daughter. I'm not going to be hateful and hate the man for what he did. I'm not going to hate the man because he changed his beliefs. He changed his thought process. Actually, the fact is that he grew in a time where it was hard to grow that way. That's something we should all want to do. We should all grow. I'm not saying don't be racist. I'm saying we should all want to grow. And we live in a time where you actually can do that without having to travel to Japan. You don't have to travel to South America. You don't have to travel to Australia. You can actually do it online. We actually have this power now to help us grow. And I think we definitely need to use it. I'm going to use these books. I'm going to use these lessons to teach my kids about racism and how bad racism is. I'm going to teach them how bad stereotypes is. I'm Lebanese. I grew up in Lebanon. But I'm darker than the average Lebanese person. And I have actually felt bigotry. I've actually felt racism from my own people, funny enough, just because I'm a darker complexion. From the average Lebanese person is actually more on the whiter side, while I'm more on the darker side. Just happen to have, you know, whatever gene. And I've felt that, so I'm going to use these lessons to teach my kids the how wrong it is to be racist and how wrong it is to be a stereotype. And I think these books can actually be a guiding tool for that. Freedom of speech, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful thing in the world. And limiting speech is a road I don't think we can come back from. I don't want to get into freedom of speech now. It's a podcast for another day. But this topic does tap into that. Freedom of speech is very important. And by banning or limiting speech, it could be a very dark day. You know, Joe Rogan has a beautiful quote. I actually have it stuck on top of the room. And it goes, be cool to people. Be nice to as many people as you can. Smile to as many people and have them smile back at you. Beautiful quote. So thank you for taking the time to check out the podcast, listen to it on audio and watch it on YouTube, and to listen to my thoughts and articulation about this very interesting and controversial topic. Please do let me know your thoughts. Do subscribe, share, and like the video. And it would be great to hear from you. This is Let's Take This Online. I'm Hossam Alhaj, and we're out. It's second nature, tell me what you know. I know they're praying that I fly. I double up a bag with my eyes closed.